Your Central Minnesota Farm Report for a Saturday morning. I'm Chasm Radio Farm Director Joe Gill. Your report brought to you each week by Midsoda Trailer Sales and Service Midsoda Manufacturing in Avon, right off I-94. Stop on in. And Midsoda, boy, great trailer selection, skid steer attachments. You need a part? They have it right there on the south side of I-94. Stop on in. Get all your parts. Great service. DOT inspections, and a whole lot more. Midsoda Manufacturing in Avon. A busy week as we already look to wrap up January, head into February. Got some more farm shows right around the corner. I know NCBA going on in Texas starting next week. This coming week here, coming up in February, Central Minnesota Farm Show. March, it's Commodity Classic in New Orleans, and boy, oh boy, we'll be there and we'll get you some coverage here on Chasm Radio in central Minnesota. Well, every year, too, farmers around the nation get to choose which of the safety net programs best fit their needs and their crops, as corn, soybean, and wheat farmers have until mid-March. That's March 15th to revise their commodity title, ARC, or PLC decisions. We get more details. Fellow farm broadcaster Todd Gleason joining us this week.
Up front, the default decision from year to year, should a farmer not make an update, is to use the previous year's ARC and PLC choices. This year, 2022, it really doesn't make too much difference, at least at current prices, which choice is made for either corn or soybeans, and to some extent for wheat. Commodity title payments should not be expected for either PLC or ARC County, says University of Illinois Extension agricultural economist Gary Schnitke.
If we're looking at 2022 and we're looking at very high prices, the chances of any of these commodity title programs making payments is pretty small. So PLC for corn, you have to have prices below market year average prices below 370. And we would estimate that that's about a 10% chance of happening for next year. So there is a chance that we could be below 370. That would be very bad, by the way, just so we all know. You could switch your corn to ARC County. However, if you do that, the program, you would no longer be eligible for SCO, the crop insurance program. And it's sort of a push whether you take PLC or ARC County. Are you more concerned about yield, in which case you would choose ARC County? Are you more concerned about price? Choose PLC, and it's just sort of a toss-up.
That's for corn. Soybeans is easier, though both could be talked through. The reference price is $8.40, and the market year average price would have to be below that for PLC to pay. ARC County is the better bet there. Schnitke says he would tend to stick with PLC for wheat. And given the low probability of payments with current price projections, farmers may wish to base program selection on risk perception, considering if there is greater price risk or yield risk for the 2022 crop and marketing year. PLC, again, is intended to address price risk, while ARC County provides revenue protection, which incorporates yield risk. I'm Todd Gleason.
All right, Todd. Thank you very much, Todd Gleason, a farm broadcaster out of Illinois, and giving some more details on ARC, PLC. And once again, March 15th is that deadline. Tune in here to Chasm Radio as we get our weekend updates with Steve Frericks and FSA. We'll give you some more insight. And once again, just a reminder to reach out to your FSA office and make your choice on which one best fits you and your farm. A busy week this week. I spoke to Amber Glazer with the Minnesota Farm Bureau, and she is in charge of their public policy. And the session starting on Monday in St. Paul once again for 2022. And, you know, it's been a battle over the recent sessions on getting things done, seeing some sort of compromise. And, you know, it's going to be a battle as we have a split legislature once again here in Minnesota. It's also an election year. And I mentioned to Amber about this session and some of the priorities as Farm Bureau looks to be involved. What do they have on their plate going into this 2022 legislative session?
We hope so. We're looking forward to the start of the legislative session January 31st and working to accomplish our priority issues that we've set for this year based off of our grassroots policy and what's really happening from that boots-on-the-ground perspective across the state. While there's, I'm sure, a lot of things that will come up this legislative session like there always does, we want to make sure we're addressing some big issues. One of those is research and investment into agriculture. We need to make sure that we're putting resources we need to ensure a long and successful future for industry. Research, innovation, investment. We're seeing a lot of that kind of come to light. The governor released his supplemental budget proposal this week. We saw a lot of good things in there. You know, working with the House and Senate as well as some of those opportunities we have to really invest into agriculture here in the state. One of the most immediate investments we need to make, though, early this session is drought relief. 2021 saw some pretty intense drought conditions across the state, and while a lot of Minnesotans have moved well past thinking about a drought, it's still top of mind, for especially for our livestock producers and specialty crop growers, and those implications from the drought are ongoing. So we want to make sure we're working with the legislature and the administration on putting together a package that will provide needed resources where and when they're needed for those that are still impacted.
Public Policy Director Amber Glazer joining us with Minnesota Farm Bureau. She did mention the drought scenario too, and once again, there are some programs still available through FSA, but she says additional dollars are needed.
Exactly. We're seeing some resources still come through from the federal level, those FSA programs, ELAP, and those different things that make sure farmers and ranchers communicate with their offices, their county offices on. But we know there's some things that are still missing that aren't made whole through those programs, especially on the livestock side. We've been hearing a lot from our members this week, especially on what's still needed, and some help with feed and transportation costs is still out there. We have a survey open right now on our website, fbmn.org/takeaction, for people to talk about what's still happening. Tell us your drought story. Talk about what's still needed that's kind of not covered by those existing programs that could really make a difference. Keep people farming this year.
I mentioned to Amber, too, as we work with a budget surplus here in Minnesota, I mentioned, is that a plus or a minus as we go in the session? I know if my pocketbook has more money in it, well, it just kind of makes it easier when it comes to decision-making and such. But she gives us her two cents on maybe what the atmosphere may be like as we are dealing with a high number in the bank here in Minnesota.
We are. We're headed into a legislative session with a surplus, which definitely adds a different dynamic than a lot of years. Most years, you're kind of working with these budget cuts and increasing taxes, proposals, and things like that. So heading into a surplus definitely adds a different dynamic, especially in a not budget year, right? So every typically even-numbered years are considered bonding years at the state legislature, and odd years are budget years. So this year, technically, and traditionally, we do long-term capital investments, land, buildings, infrastructure, and then some supplemental budget pieces. So the supplement or the surplus here in the state has really added some dynamics politically as well. It's an election year, and we have a divided government, Republican-controlled Senate, Democrat-controlled House, and a Democratic governor. So we have a lot of different kind of perspectives on how that surplus should be handled.
Amber Glazer with the Minnesota Farm Bureau. And finally, I mentioned, too, the whole discussion regarding renewable fuels and electric vehicles, and it's still rather divided, too. And I mentioned from a Farm Bureau perspective, where do they stand on support of both of these ideas and movements going on here when it comes to or transportation and how to power it?
There are, and sustainability is a huge priority issue for Farm Bureau and for farmers and ranchers across the country. And one of those big issues that's kind of risen to light, especially over the last year or so, has been the transportation sector. Farm Bureau believes that biofuels and increased use of biofuels are a way to address the transportation greenhouse gas. So we're looking at E15 here in Minnesota. We've always been a leader in biofuels. How do we continue to be that leader, do what we know we can do and are good at here in Minnesota while addressing some of those environmental concerns? And that's through the increased use of biofuels. So we've appreciated support from the administration on E15, and we look for that support as well in the legislature as well. We know there's a lot of different conversations as it talks about electric vehicles and, you know, all these different pathways and clean cars rules and clean fuel standards and everything. And our focus is definitely the use of biofuels in those different paths forward.
Amber Glazer joining us with Minnesota Farm Bureau this morning. We do appreciate her time. I'll check in multiple times during this upcoming session. And there you go, your Central Minnesota Farm Report. It's brought to you each and every week by Minnesota Trailer Sales right off I-94 in Avon.